Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's happening? Tink and Tierney ready to go on this Monday after Thanksgiving. Back ready to roll. Got some wild stuff happening. Hopefully everybody's awesome. We're inside of our studio. Jump right into it. The Rocket Mortgage Studio. Need to know what it takes for home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket Ken, they didn't just beat him. They absolutely punished him.
Oh, man.
They abused him.
I loved it.
They punked him.
I did not think it was going to happen.
Michigan.
But it did happen.
Wow.
And I hate to say it, because I like Ohio State. I love how aggressive they've been over the last couple of years, especially offensively. They pushed the ball down the field. They got all these great wide receivers. They played so soft against Michigan. It was almost like they were just waiting for it to happen because they're better athletes. And Michigan reminded them, this is the Big 12, or Big 10. And in the Big 10, if you go back to when Jim Harbaugh was playing, it was all about who had the bigger offensive line, who had the more powerful running back, and who had the defense, in this case, defensive ends, who are going to get after you the most. And that was Michigan from start to finish. It got a little dicey once Ohio State came back and scored and made it, I think it was like an 11-point game. And then Michigan just goes right down the field, runs it in, not even like throwing the ball around the field, just runs it down their throat and scores Hassan Haskins' fifth touchdown of the day. It was like, man, this is just Michigan's year, man. It just feels like it, save for that mistake against Michigan State. Michigan's been unbelievable so far.
297 rushing yards. Just incredible. You know, Jim Harbaugh's been, to me, one of the most intriguing figures in sports the last decade or so. You can go back to Stanford if you want to extend it a little bit, but really it started with the Niners, with that renaissance, with Alex Smith, and you know a team that got to the Super Bowl. They easily could have won it, just completely the where you know, and more intimate to me because I was out there in San Francisco when he was hired,
and you
interviewed him a bunch,
and you did radio in Detroit too, so
true with Michigan, but the quirkiness of Jim was. Was always fun, and it was always backed up by wins, and he was just a very peculiar, and I say that in a nice way.
With reverence.
Yes, with great reverence. Always just a little odd, a little off, the way he dressed, the way he acted, the sound bites, the just a very, almost like socially awkward.
Yes.
And then he goes to Michigan, a Michigan man, a made man who sat down at the table, and they pricked his finger, and there was blood on it. You know, they do with the mafia back in the day. I don't know if they still do it, but he was a made man because he's a Michigan man. And we're like, it was awesome. It was great for the sport, great for the conference. Man, you can always go back to the NFL. But then you watch him play five times against the Buckeyes, 0-5, average margin of defeat, almost 20 points. You know, the Buckeyes are putting out first-round pick after first-round pick, and this guy can't beat the Buckeyes. It's not even close. And I didn't think they had a chance. Now, when I saw the weather, it actually changed my mind a little bit.
Yes.
But to be fair, before we went on vacation, you know, I thought the spread was low. It was 7.5 points. It is so, so good for the state of college football to have some change. And by the way, this wasn't the only wacky occurrence over the weekend. I mean, we'll get to Bama later. I was in the car coming back from the college basketball game. I heard that on the radio. That was wild. But this is, we needed this. There's now a pathway for Michigan to win their first national title since 1997.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. You know, you mentioned him being one of the most intriguing guys over the last couple of years. I mean, maybe last 20.
Maybe.
Because think about like how we've lauded. First of all, I go back to his career. you know, even back in college when he was at Michigan, and he guaranteed a victory over Ohio State and then delivered, right? He had this really odd, not great, but odd, but good NFL career as well.
Yep, where, captain comeback with the Colts.
Just, exactly. He just had this resiliency about him, which shapes his mentality, I think, when we kept hearing him say, it just takes patience. It takes patience. We got to keep pushing, keep grinding, keep doing the hard things.
Yeah, stop believing them, though. Stop after it. Michigan, I stopped believing them.
Yes, I'm talking Michigan relative to Ohio State. Everybody stopped believing
them. I didn't believe
them. I didn't believe them as well.
Anymore, I was like, okay.
Look, they were one of the best.
Not the guy.
They got one of the best defenses in football. Two defensive ends in Ajabu and Hutchinson,
Hutchinson
are just, I mean, they're both unbelievable.
Both unreal, but Hutchinson might go second or third overall.
I agree. You know, you could make an argument he could be number one, maybe, depending on who has that draft pick, especially considering that the quarterback aren't elite coming out this year. So you're not, you know, racing up the draft board to go grab a quarterback this year. You want a disruptive defensive end from the defensive view of college football of the University of Michigan over the last couple of years. And so you just looked at the like construction of the team. It's veteran. He finally got a quarterback who's not mistake prone. He doesn't do a ton, but he doesn't need to because you get two great running backs. Like all those things just tell you Michigan's going to be good. And look, let's face it, they screwed up against Michigan State. They had a 16-point lead with I don't know, 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They just let it slide away from them. But in my mind, I'm still saying Ohio State's better. Ohio State's better. Ohio State's better. Until I saw the first two quarters of this game, and I said, Michigan is just going to thump them. You could just feel it coming.
Right away.
Because Ohio State could not stop them.
Hassan the only Haskins, time I was worried was when they threw the pick. They were up 7-0. And Michigan threw the pick in there in the tight red.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, you can't do that against these guys.
You can't waste possessions.
You gotta score.
Yeah, you can't waste possessions. Even if you get a field goal, you can't waste the possession. But then they get the ball back and they just grind them, man.
Third quarter, ready to go.
Dude, you know what was happening. Ohio State knew what Michigan was going to do. They were going to turn around. They were going to hand it on a counter to Hassan Haskins. He was going to hit between both A-gaps and get 5 yards, 6 yards, make a guy miss, get 15 yards. I mean, Ohio State knew it was coming and couldn't stop it. That's an ass kicking, right? Mm-hmm. If you're just confused, like, oh, man, you got us on a screen. Yep. Oh, man, you got us on a
deep. And there was some trickery, by the way, and they were confused on that
I
as
agree.
Well, but I got you.
But, you know, it's like, oh, they beat us on a wheel route to the fullback. Like, things like that, you say, yeah, they just outcoached us. Uh-huh. They just got their ass kicked.
They lined up and they hammered them.
That's right.
It
which
was
made
awesome.
It awesome.
That stadium was absolutely on fire. Let's hear from Harbaugh. By the way, did you hear the quote? I mean, yeah, you'd have to think he's talking about Ryan Day.
Oh, he's definitely talking about Ryan Day.
When he says, you know, a lot of people, they're on third base and they think they hit a triple. Like they're standing on third base, they think they hit a triple. Very interesting. He's bit his tongue a lot over the years. There were probably things he wanted to say. He was getting crushed from every angle. They sliced his contract in half.
Yes.
I mean, really, the luster off of Jim Harbaugh was palpable. But here he is, victorious, standing with that great posture, that great pride, that strong chin, undeterred as they get the win. Here's Harbaugh.
Man, it feels like the best one, you know. it sure does. Yeah, it really does. And, you know, get ready for next week's. Maybe next week's will be the best, but that's why it feels like the beginning. But continue to do what we do. We'll move on with humble hearts, and you know, greatness doesn't fear consequences.
He's always a man of those sayings.
Yeah.
And he's been saying the humble hearts and greatness doesn't fear consequences.
Yeah,
he's reached for those over the years. I love it. I believe he means it. It's not just some contrived statement.
Right.
He believes it.
It becomes a cliche.
It does, but
it also becomes a way of life.
A mantra within
that's
the
right.
franchise or within the school,
that's
depending
right.
upon which league he's in. And you're doing the game now.
Yes.
So it's Iowa.
Iowa
and Michigan for the Big Ten championship.
That's right.
And Tiki's on the call.
Because Wisconsin laid an egg against Minnesota.
Yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't love Graham Mertz. I've been telling you this.
But still, Wisconsin, I thought, was supposed to win that. They were supposed to win that
game. I think you're right. So like, at the end of the day, remember,
Michigan should easily beat Iowa.
Agreed. And they should be into the college football playoff. And Jim Harbaugh fulfills this, I don't know, this expectation that's been there for a lot of years. But you remember at the beginning of the season, we were talking about Michigan and about how, you know, at some point, Ohio State's got to become the most important thing. Because when you talk to Ohio State players after the game, they're saying, hey, man, we're preparing for Michigan in the offseason.
Yeah.
We're preparing for Michigan in week one, week two, week three. There's like a practice segment at the end of every practice, or at least a couple days a week, where you're preparing for Michigan because that game is so important. Well, I was reading this article, and I sent you guys the quote. It said, and this is a quote from the article I was reading right after this game. It said, Harbaugh installed a sign in Schimbeckler Hall last January asking players to say, what are you, capital U, doing to beat Ohio State today? At every workout, the Buckeyes' run of dominance was brought up. So it finally became important. I think for a lot of Jim's early tenure back with Michigan, it was just another game. Like, he was trying to position it as, it's just another game. It's just another game. We just got to get ready, do what we do. It's just another game. It seems like...
Boy, how could he think that as somebody who played there?
I don't know.
I don't know if I'm buying
BT,
that.
This
Maybe
article,
he communicated it very vanilla, BT, but there's no way he thought that.
This article, it confirmed what I had thought. Right, they hadn't been looking at Ohio State as the most important game.
Shame on him.
Even if it's not, in the long run,
I mean,
it has to be.
It fuels both states.
They put this sign up in January in Schimbeckler Hall. So, yep. Like January 2021, like 11 months ago, he finally put that message up. And so every single one of those guys is thinking about Ohio State from January until November, Thanksgiving weekend, November 27th or whatever it was that they played, right, this past weekend. So, like, when it becomes that important, and then you have the luck and the construction and the coaching and the physicality and the talent to actually be in a position to make it mean something more than just Ohio State, you get the ass kicking that we saw on Saturday, which was great.
That sign could have said a million things. You know, stop being owned, stop being punk, time to stop getting our ass kicked. They wanted to put up there, the font didn't matter.
Uh-huh.
Didn't matter. But as long as that message was received by the players, which it clearly was,
yep.
I mean, at halftime in the tunnels, I mean, they were trying. I mean, you see that a lot, but that was a little more than usual. The reaction from the fans crying. I mean, this really was a statewide win.
Yeah.
That, I mean, this century, a lot of times we say things that are hyperbolic on the air, like, you know, and we kind of gloss over time, but quite literally, this century,
yeah,
they have just been, they've been the JV. They, you know, and it's not just Harbaugh at 0-5 before the other day. It was an 8-game skid to Ohio State overall. It was losing 15 out of 16. It was losing in a few painful manners, but a few manners more times than you should ever have in this rivalry.
Yeah.
Where the difference, the disparity in talent was so obvious that, I mean, it almost looked like an out-of-conference game where Ohio State was tuning up for Michigan, you know, back in the day. I think it's awesome. Now it's sustainable. And now the next key is you can't. Let me ask you this. If, I don't even want to throw this out there because, you know, but I will. If they trip up against Iowa, if they do,
yeah,
what does, because as much as I'm saying they should beat Iowa, well, I mean, Iowa's defense is good.
They are good.
And they're well coached. Well, so anything's possible.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, obviously it will matter. It'll be a disappointment. It'll be a humongous letdown. But winning your rivalry game is something that this class at the University of Michigan will never forget, right? Just in the way that it happened, it become hugely important. They've won the Big Ten East, which is a big deal because they've never done that either. Winning the Big Ten, I mean the Big Ten, I said 12, but the Big Ten East, they mm-hmm. win. Winning the Big Ten would be, I mean, just a cap on an unbelievable year for them.
It's been 16 years, by the way, 04.
Absolutely. So
really, basically 17.
A letdown would be disappointing, but I think this moment lives independent of that. You know what I mean? You're not going to forget that this happened, even if you don't win the Big Ten.
But you also won't forget that you lost the Big Ten championship and failed to follow it up.
Yes.
If you don't beat, I know what you mean.
Yes.
Like that emotion that was emitted on Saturday by everybody within a 100-mile radius of the stadium,
yeah,
palpable forever. I get that. Forever. But the next part of the conversation in 10, 20, 30 years is, but geez, we lost to Iowa.
So here's what I'll put it this way.
You got to win.
Look, they have their cake right now, right? And they're also eating it because they're trolling the hell out of Ohio State. Here's Jim Harbaugh in the aforementioned quote about, I'm saying this in quotes, Ryan Day. He doesn't say it's about Ryan Day, but this is Harbaugh talking about
Jimmy.
Somebody.
What did? I mean, there's... Yeah, I mean, I know that probably things you're thinking of are the same as I'm thinking of, but, I mean, let's move on with humble hearts, take the high road, but there's definitely stuff that people said that spurred us on even more. Sure, sometimes people that are standing on third base think they hit a triple, you know?
Obviously awesome. Referring to Ryan Day, who was given a team constructed, built into a winner by Urban Meyer, and then stepped right into it and was like, yeah, man, I'm the greatest coach in the Big Ten. Okay. You were born on third. And also, the Detroit State, really take your time. Your season is over.
Oh, man. Wow. Just get home safely. Nothing to race home for.
Hashtag drive Michigan safely.
Wow. That is awesome. Good. The PD jumping in on the hijinks.
That is fantastic.
Good. And that's what you get. You know, listen, I don't know. Would NYPD do that if the Jets ever beat the Pats in the AV? I don't know. But it's more collegiate. Yeah. It's more fitting.
I hear you.
On the collegiate level for the police or the fire departments or the locals to do that on that kind of level. That is awesome stuff. Again, I am with you. That is a forever moment, but
it will feel unfulfilled. It will feel like you didn't put the cherry on top if they don't win the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they do win the Big Ten and they get the college football playoff and then fall short,
that's
for whatever
different.
Reason,
that's
it's
different.
Completely different.
That's different. I agree with that.
Winning the Big Ten
yep.
would make this feel like one of the most special seasons that Michigan has had in two decades.
I totally agree. And no matter, you know, it's funny. When you have a Michigan man as the Michigan coach.
Yes.
The energy, both positively and negatively, when things go a little awry, it comes a little harder.
Yeah,
because there's more emotional investment in that person, and maybe the expectations a little bit higher. And also when you win, that galvanization is probably even a little bit more because you won with one of your own. So I agree. There's been special seasons at Michigan for sure. Lloyd Carr had some, no doubt, but. You know, Jim Harbaugh is Jim Harbaugh, and this is one that's going to resonate forever. It was an awesome, awesome game and an awesome, awesome scene. All right, coming up, he stepped off the private charter. Kids are already bouncing. Well, you know what? I'm not going to go to Oklahoma, actually, despite being, you know, the number two center in the country and a top 30 recruit. No, I don't think I'm going to go play for the Sooners. I think I'm going to probably go play for the Trojans instead. Lincoln Riley with an interesting move. Wow. So USC got their guy. Florida got their guy. We got to talk some coaching situations, and we will do that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. We'll get back to the Tube next hour. They'll pick us up if they know what's good for them. Hey, this Saturday coming up on CBS, it's a matchup of epic proportions for the SEC championship and a possible top spot in college football and the playoff. Number one, Georgia. Taking on number three, Alabama. We'll set the scene beginning at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. The drive to Atlanta presented by Mercedes-Benz, followed by State Farm College Football. Today, the SEC championship is this Saturday. Coming up. On CBS. All right,
DT, I might have to make you amend your stance on San Francisco head coach Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, he's
starting to innovate.
They're doing well.
He's starting to innovate some things that are just like,
okay,
what in the hell?
Great. They're 6-6. They're back to 500.
I agree.
He was on the hot seat. I ramped it up. I get it.
Yeah.
Don't think I haven't thought the same thing. The last three performances have been very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
His whole record is still his whole record.
Yes. No, you're right.
It was not a hot take. It was a combination of his entire run so far in San Francisco.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
He's
like taking a couple logs off the fire.
He has. He's actually thrown a little water on the remaining flickering flame.
It's not fully out.
No.
But it is not like roaring now.
No, I agree with that. I do agree. We'll get to the NFL obviously later. Before we get to Lincoln Riley at USC, I'm curious what you were thinking because I'm coming back doing a St. John's game on Saturday, and I'm listening to the Alabama-Auburn game take, and I get it just at the start of overtime.
Yes.
Okay? Which, to me, I mean, listen, would I have rather been on my couch? Yeah, but there was something special, something really cool about listening to the broadcast and having to visualize the moment as I'm driving.
Yeah.
Right? So that was pretty cool.
I know what you mean.
And I'm sitting there saying, do I want Alabama to win or lose? I didn't bet, got no vested interest either way. What were you thinking? I know you were doing a game. Did you want Alabama, nothing against Alabama, but did you want Bama to lose knowing if they did lose, it's loss number two and two lost teams ever made it
actually,
to have us a new fresh setup here? What were you thinking?
Well, I do want a fresh setup
here.
So
did you want them to lose?
But I want them to lose to Georgia. So I didn't want them to lose to Auburn in the Iron Bowl, even though it was in Auburn as opposed to in Tuscaloosa. So I wanted them to win, but because I want them to lose to Georgia. I want Georgia to exercise itself against a one-loss Alabama team in the SEC championship, and then that knocks Alabama out of the college football playoff conversation.
Because
if they lose to Auburn, they're out. It doesn't. I mean, maybe
talking about Alabama.
Yeah.
Oh no, Alabama's done.
And maybe if they beat Georgia, maybe if they beat Georgia, they climb back close. But I don't think they
get
back in.
Some people speculate. I still don't think they would have gotten in with two losses.
I think you're right.
I really don't.
So I was happy that it played out the way that it did. But God, BT, it was one of the ugliest performances from a really good team that I've seen in a long time.
Although they had that 97-yard drive.
That
was incredible. But I got you. It was pretty ugly. All right. Lincoln Riley, USC. Now, there are certain brands, there are certain programs that have to win a certain way. This is how I'm going to set up my opinion on Lincoln Riley.
Go ahead.
Notre Dame, it doesn't matter at the end of the day if they muck it up and they win, 17-6. Notre Dame fans are happy with 11 wins and punching a ticket and going
That's
to
right.
play for a championship.
Right.
I don't even think it particularly matters anymore. Florida, the way they win, as long as they do win. LSU historically had won with defense. Mm-hmm. Last year was awesome because it was totally different.
Yeah.
And it certainly energized the fans. But I think
2 years ago.
2 years ago, pardon me. As long as LSU wins, I think LSU fans are cool. When you look at USC, that is maybe the only school that has to win a certain way. Not only do they have to win, but stylistically, they've got to win. You got to air it out. You got to put pros on the board. You got to have a stud quarterback. They hired the perfect guy to coach the Trojans.
It's crazy, BT, because we've talked about USC job for a while and not really even thought about Lincoln Riley.
I didn't think he was going to go. I thought if he jumped, he'd go to the NFL at some point.
Yeah. But
before another college job.
It never crossed my mind. But now that it's happened, you think back on it, it's like, of course Lincoln Riley is the perfect fit for that job. And why? Well, first of all, let me address Oklahoma. Oklahoma moving to the SEC in 2025, it is going to be really, really hard for them to ever win an SEC championship. They just don't recruit like the defense to keep up.
The trenches.
They just don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
What they have had is a head coach who has made it his business to cultivate, nurture, and get Heisman candidates at quarterback, and then ultimately get those Heisman quarterback candidates paid in the NFL and actually succeeding in the National Football League. And when you're going to USC, which is, it's running back you, obviously, but it's also quarterback you because of the names that have gone through that place over the years, the decades, Lincoln Riley is the perfect coach to bring into that into that mix. Now, what was crazy about this, BT, is that nobody saw it coming. You know, not just us, who just weren't paying attention to it, but nobody saw it. His assistant coaches didn't even know that he was contemplating this until he told them a couple of days ago. And so Lincoln Riley now bounces from Oklahoma. It leaves Oklahoma in the lurch. It's still a good job.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of names getting thrown out there. I think Mark Stoops makes a lot of sense, who was formerly the defensive coordinator there under his brother, Bob. Now he's the head coach at Kentucky. He's done a good job at Kentucky. But what's going to happen, and you already started to see it, is that these kids who were thinking about going to Oklahoma because of Lincoln Riley, quarterbacks, skill position players, are now decommitting. They've already got five, including the number two prospect in the 2023 class. No.
Because one of the centers decommitted as well.
Well, he did, too. I'm talking about the number two prospect in the 2023 class. He's a quarterback. He's only behind Arch Manning, his kid Malachi Nelson, who was committed to Oklahoma. And the only reason he was going to Oklahoma is because Lincoln Riley was there. Mm-hmm. The minute this news dropped, he didn't reopen his recruitment. He just decommitted from Oklahoma, which tells you he's likely going to USC with Lincoln Riley, which is what they need. They need a quarterback. Caden Slovis is still there, so they have some talent, upper-class talent there. We also have heard that Spencer Rattler is transferring. He's going to enter the portal. And Caleb Williams, the freshman starter for Oklahoma, has also said, "We'll see where we are. I'm Oklahoma's quarterback right now."
Yep.
Was his verbiage. So, I mean, there's going to be some defections, and that's just natural. But it also comes back to this point where we talk about these kids, and now they finally have an opportunity to move freely. When your coach like pieces out like he pieced out, kids have to have that opportunity. Well,
and the other advantage too now, I mean, aside from all the things that you just said, and you're absolutely right. If you're a coach at a smaller school, and like the coach for Louisiana who's going to Florida,
yeah,
okay. Nick Saban tree, great roots, well respected. But when you're recruiting at Louisiana, you know, you don't have access to the top 100, top 150 recruits.
Yeah, you're talking about Billy Napier, at Louisville, going now to Louisiana. He's now going to Florida.
Going to the Gators now. And not that he's not going to do a good job. He's very highly thought of and rooting for him. But somebody like Lincoln Riley has already been in the living room of all or many, and certainly conversed on a very strong level, very deep level, not just a cursory level, with all the top, you know, 150 players over the last year or two.
That's right.
And some of those players that didn't go to Oklahoma and went elsewhere are like, man, this isn't working out. So the transfer portal for USC in year one, because he already knows these guys,
that's right,
is going to be, and you think Mel Tucker struck gold at Michigan State with the transfer
portal?
That's
exactly who I was thinking
about. Watch what Lincoln Riley does with the transfer portal. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
USC,
it's going to be good to have USC back.
Look, I don't know if they're going to be relevant. I don't know if they're going to be competing for a Pac-12 championship
or even in
the college football playoff. But here's what we know. Lincoln Riley.
Pac-12 championship? They'll be competing for that in year one.
Lincoln Riley has consistently made Oklahoma into a Pac-12 college football playoff committee potential team.
Sure.
They haven't always been in it, but they're always right there.
Yep.
Right? And so that's going to happen because Lincoln Riley has this offensive philosophy and mindset that attracts these kids, right? And it's not what you see elsewhere. It's similar, but it's just the success ratio is so high that kids want to go there. Malachi Nelson, who I mentioned, he's a California kid. He's a California kid going to the Midwest to play football.
Yes.
Why?
Because of Lincoln.
Because Lincoln Riley put Baker Mayfield, put Kyler Murray, who was the other one I'm missing off the top of my head? No. Hurts. Jalen Hurts just recently.
Who was horrible
NFL.
Yesterday, Jalen Hurts.
He was bad. And he still almost had a chance to win. He almost had a chance to win.
Well, Rager should have caught that ball at the goal line. Hit him right in the face. Rager's horrendous.
Yeah, he's been bad.
Ugh.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I know. They took him over Justin Jefferson.
He had a chance to take Justin Jefferson.
Yikes.
Took Jalen Rager.
Uh-huh.
But the point is, he's putting guys in the pros.
Uh-huh.
Malachi Nelson's decommitting from Oklahoma because he wants to go play with the guy who's going to put him in the pros.
Yeah, and the other difference, too, is now, you know, USC's put a lot of guys in the pros at the quarterback. Obviously, Carson Palmer won the Heisman, was a great player, and then he ripped up his knee. He didn't play his rookie year, but he got hurt his next year. And Carson Palmer, not a Hall of Famer, but he's like a tier below it. Carson Palmer's very good in the NFL, both with Cincinnati and then eventually Arizona. But you look at the other quarterbacks that USC has put out, Sam Darnold, you know, is going to have a transient career. Matt Leinart was a bust, obviously, whatever, he was taking 10th. Matt Castle, Cody Kessler, Matt Barkley. Transient names, guys who carved out, you know, made a few bucks, bounced around, hung on rosters as backups, blah, blah, blah. But now what you're going to see is, with the first overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft, whomever selects, you know, so-and-so from US, it's coming.
Yeah.
Like, and the guys that will now go from USC to the NFL, instead of being middling transient players, are going to be statistical superstars.
Agreed.
And it's going to be so good for USC. And it's going to be so good residually for us as college football fans.
No, I think you're right.
They are back.
I think you're absolutely right. And now it leaves more holes because there's holes to fill now in college football.
Right.
But it's all right.
Patch them up.
Lincoln Riley had to do what was right for Lincoln Riley. Yeah. And that was career advancement and taking a job at an iconic Pac-12 former elite university, football team university, is right up his alley. And I think it doesn't even matter what he gets paid. It's turning this thing around and making it successful again after years of just, who's our guy? Who's our guy? Yeah, we'll hold on to Clay Helton. Who's our guy? Like, they just can never feel comfortable. Now they got to feel really comfortable about Lincoln Riley. They have to.
No doubt. Update for Mac. We'll come back. Five-star rewind to Monday staple. Axe update right now. Here's Rich.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, a little five-star rewind coming up in a moment. First, though, it is time to ask the pros, and the copy says that we are the pros. Very debatable, I mean, depending upon the segment, depending upon the day. Anyway, just drop us a tweet here, all right? Any questions you might have, send them over to at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. That's at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. Stick around, listen later on. We'll go through them. Stu Getz, Samter, they'll give us something good. We'll debate it on the air. We'll kick it around. We'll give you props as well shortly before we bounce right around 6 Eastern, almost shortly before 6 Eastern. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The Mets ain't messing around. Wow. Max Scherzer. They land a big one.
Uncle Stevie.
Get the gaff. You got to hold this one in. Get the gaff. So we'll squeeze that in a little later. Also, next hour, a lot of NFL. First hour was all, you know, Michigan and Lincoln Riley at USC. We'll get into the Rams, who have suddenly morphed into an unrecognizable product. Tua playing better. Is it a mirage, or has he maybe figured things out? And also just a glut of teams looking to make a move in both the AFC and the NFC. Really, only a few teams are out of it, so parity is alive. But right now, it's time for a Monday staple. Time for a little five-star rewind. Let's go.
Time to buckle in.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs. That's some fun.
Here's your latest five-star rewind.
Hello?
Tiki and Tierney give you the best highlights from their top five games over the past weekend.
I know I'm going to get got, but I'm going to get mine more than I get got, though.
Here we come. It's a man's game now.
All right. Five-star rewind brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. It's the one where you got to get stuff done. Pick some up today. For more information, visit 5HourEnergy.com. But as always, we start on the Sunday night stage, and Mark Andrews elevating above the slop.
Jackson asks for Brown to come in motion. He'll take the snap, looks left, now looks right, runs right, rolls the pocket, throws on the run. It's a wobbler up for grabs for Andrews, who comes back for it, makes the one-handed grab. And he was also held by Harrison while he did it at the 13-yard line, and a sea of flags came flying in.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how it sounded. Tom McCarthy, Ross Tucker getting big bucks for that, that little insert on the back end.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. We love Ross. Westwood One Sports, good call. And an ugly, ugly game, but the Ravens persevere 16-10.
Yeah, that was
the final.
Look, we talking about this in the break, BT. What's wrong with Lamar Jackson? Nothing's wrong with Lamar Jackson. He is who he is. We know what he's good at, and we know what he's not good at. And throwing three interceptions before halftime, really in kind of successive plays, was putting him in a bad spot trying to be a pocket passer, reading defenses and schemes and whatever the defense is trying to do for you. Let him be an athlete outside of the pocket. So he can make throws downfield if there's a bust. Design plays so it's easy for him to get the ball out of his hand, one or two reads. But making him do what they were trying to do, it was getting frustrating. Mm-hmm. And it's holding this team back. But I will give them credit, the Baltimore Ravens. They, of any team in the NFL, maybe in the last 5 or 6 years that knows how to win ugly, it's the Baltimore Ravens.
That's true.
And they just keep winning. I mean, they're sitting there at 8-4 now?
8-3 now.
8-3 now.
Top of the North.
None of them have looked convincing.
No.
But they find ways to do it, and you got to give them credit, and hopefully things stabilize when it gets closer to the playoffs.
As I said, 8-3, so playoffs seem to be the destination again for the Ravens. They're up next. They'll play the Steelers in Pittsburgh, who look awful. 420 ice. 420, Ben, you got to try to hang up, buddy.
It's over.
425 Eastern, CBS at the Steelers. Ravens early 3.5-point favorites for the Browns. They limp into the bye at 6-6 and a very disappointing season hitting the home stretch. We move it on. San Francisco we go. Don't look now, but here come the Niners.
Here's a wide handoff to Deebo Samuel coming right, turns the corner. Down the sideline goes Deebo. Lowers his head and drops his shoulder. Touchdown! San Francisco, and now the teams have to be pulled apart as there's flags on the field after the Deebo Samuel touchdown run. He did it again.
Well, they thought they were held out on the edge. I think Eric Kendricks was really upset. He thought that he was being held by George Kittle.
This was a fun game. That was early in the game. Made it 7-7 just about 5.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Greg Papa, Tim Ryan doing their thing on the Niners radio network. Deebo doing damage. Final score, wild one, 34-26. Niners getting hot. They've won three straight.
Yeah, no, they have. And, you know, we talked a little bit about Kyle Shanahan. What he's starting to do, which we didn't see earlier in the season, is using Swiss Army knives out of basically everybody, whether it's Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk or whoever it is.
Yeah.
You have your running back lead blocking for your wide receiver who's now in the backfield. It's created so much diversity in their run game that it's made it really hard to figure figure them out, and therefore defenses are sucking in, trying to figure out how to stop them, and that makes things a lot easier for Jimmy Garoppolo. So credit, tip of the cap, goes to Kyle Shanahan for getting this thing turned around. It looked like they were falling, fading into the basement of the West, but here they are at 6-5, still in the conversation. So credit all around to the 49ers.
Yeah, they've resuscitated very nicely, regenerated. You heard Greg Papa with the call there describing some physical activity after the first touchdown. Well, after the game, the war of words was going on. Mike Zimmer calling out the Niners and George Kittle firing back.
I mean, these guys hold all the time, so they're grabbing us around the waist, grabbing our backs, and, you know, officials, they don't want to call it every play, but until they start calling every play, they're not going to stop doing it.
I get away with a lot of holding. I mean, I think if you're running your feet and your hands inside, just because a guy spins and flails his arm, it's not holding. He's just flopping. I mean, you can watch plenty of pass plays. I finally got a holding call out there in a pass route. I got hugged and tackled, and I think there are like three of those out there that don't get called. It's football. Refs throw flags. Refs don't throw flags. It's just the game. And if you're going to sit on the sideline and complain about holding the whole time, I tell your guys to make better plays.
There you go. So Kittle telling the Vikings to stick it. San Francisco 6-5 at this point on the year. 4:25 Eastern in Seattle, week number 13. San Francisco 2.5-point favorites. Minnesota 5-6. 1 Eastern CBS. They play at the Lions. And Minnesota 7-point favorites. Up next, Teak, we go to Indianapolis. And Leonard Fournette, 28 yards to the crib. Curtains.
Gronkowski on the left edge along with Wells. Here's the snap. Brady has the ball off, running to the left. Is Fournette inside the 25. Stiff arm to the 20. On his feet to the 15, 10. 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Leonard Fournette. Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Wow, is that the dagger? I hope so, with 20 seconds left.
There it is. That's how it sounded. Gene Dekaroff on the Bucs Radio Network. Well, the ensuing kickoff was a little bit frightening as well. The Colts actually got, I think it was a 50 or 60-yard return there. They had a long run where at least Carson Wentz had a shot at the end zone, which was eventually snagged. But there it is, the final 38-31 Tampa by a 7-spot.
Yeah, no, this game was so interesting. And since tale of two halves, really. Tampa Bay couldn't get it going. No points in the first, 14 in the second quarter. But they were down 24-14. And then Colts inexplicably kind of short-circuited, stopped trying to run the football. 24 points the Buccaneers scored in the third and fourth quarters. So much of this is on Brady's wherewithal, but also Leonard Fournette just turning into a monster, both as a receiver, 31 yards and a touchdown, receiving 100 yards and three touchdowns on the ground. But I think more importantly, with Gronk healthy, this Bucs offense feels like they can do almost whatever they want against any team. So part on the Colts for, you know, not turning around and handing it off to Jonathan Taylor, but also give the Buccaneers credit for being champions and knowing how to play through bad quarters or halves.
And you mentioned Fournette doing it on the ground and catching the ball as well. Also taking on a little bit of a leadership role. Here's Fournette on his halftime speech.
Came at halftime. You know, I had a speech for the team. I'm like, man, you have to have a will and a want. You know, you have the willing to risk everything. Play by play, you have to want to win, want to fight each and every play. And I think they understood that message and came out and played the lights out.
There you go. Good stuff from Fournette. So Indianapolis now 6-6. Up next, the Texans, who lost to the Jets yesterday. 1 Eastern CBS. That is an 8.5-point spread early. Colts obviously favored. Tampa 8-3. 1 Eastern Fox in Atlanta. That's an 11-point spread, obviously favoring Tampa. To New England we go. The Mac attack in full form.
Third down and 6. Jones is back in the pocket. Throws down the middle. Caught by Bourne. Running room to the outside. Ooh. As he carries to the 30.
Oh, nice.
Finished
ball
on the sideline. It's 15. Away from a defender. Into the end zone.
Touchdown. Bourne
to run after the catch. Touchdown, Patriots.
What a move by Bourne.
All right. How it sounded. Bob Sochi, Scott Zolak, Pats Radio Network. 26-13 at that point. They would tack on some more. The route was on, 36-13. Pat's still cruising.
Yeah, Deke. They were. I mean, this was a blowout win. I mean, they scored 13 points, the Titans did, but that was because Dontrell Hilliard took a draw that was just meant to pick up 5 or 6 yards, and they were going to punt and took it to the house. But on the other side, the New England Patriots, I mean, all that talk about whether or not Bill Belichick needed Tom Brady, it just, you throw it out the window. Like, anybody who thought that he was anything less because Tom Brady's not there is fooling themselves. This is one of the best coach teams that you will ever see. Situationally, knocking the ball out down the field, the recovery without going out of bounds. You see Kendrick Bourne, who they kind of picked up off the scrap heap. He's a baller, man.
He's playing great.
Like, the long touchdown was one thing. The four-yarder,
yes,
where he sprints to the corner, I mean, there's urgency to get to the corner. You could tell that it was rehearsed. It was practiced. It was intentional how perfect that throw and catch was from Mac Jones to Kendrick Bourne. And I mean, the Patriots are, they feel like you can't beat them because their defense is playing so well. But offensively, they make no mistakes at all.
Well, it's going to be fun next time we see the Pats, who are suddenly 8-4. Monday Night Football at the Bills. Tre'Davious White, their great corner, ripped up his knee. He's obviously done for the year. Bills early 3-point favorites. That line probably will move. So if you like it, you better jump in now. Tennessee also 8-4. Different feeling as they enter the bye, but still 8-4 nonetheless. Finally, Teak, in Cincinnati we go. Joe Burrow and the Bengals straight up punking Pittsburgh.
Burrow catches a shotgun snap, five-step drop. He's going to float it for the end zone, and T. Higgins, he goes up. He's got it! T. Higgins wins the battle for the football as he took it away from James Pierre. Touchdown, Cincinnati.
All right, Dan Hoard, Dave Lapham doing their thing on the Bengals radio network. This one was Route City, 41-10. Bengals just tattooed the Steelers postgame. Head coach Mike Tomlin on the defense.
You know, it's alarming. It is. We're not trying to play it cool by any stretch. We don't play football like that, but we have been the last couple of weeks, and so, you know, some adjustments need to be made.
I think it's one of the worst losses of the Tomlin era.
Yeah.
Cincinnati 7-4. They'll take on the Chargers. That's coming up next weekend on CBS. Pittsburgh 5-5-1.
Yeah, we talked about Ben Roethlisberger. We've talked about him a lot, but it's almost painful watching him stand, not being able to move. He gets sacked and bopped and bumped around. He's just not impactful at all. They don't have a run game, at least not a consistent one, to protect him. So as a result, teams like Cincinnati pin their ears back and they go after him. And Joe Burrow makes these calculated throws. Like, yeah, T. Higgins, 50-50 ball. I'm going to throw this one up, man. Mm-hmm. My guy's better than your guy. Other than that, they've been running the heck out of it. Joe Mixon, 165 yards and two touchdowns. They did kind of whatever they wanted in this game. And that route is telling. Both about the Bengals getting themselves right a little bit, but more about how bad the Steelers are right now.
There it is, our weekly five-star rewind right here on Teaky and Tierney. And, you know, listen, for the betterment of the show, I had to swallow my anger and play the highlight. But you know that Fournette touchdown, how much money that cost me? I'm not going to actually tell you how much money it cost me. But I'll tell you this. I never really mess around with parlays. I had a five-team parlay yesterday, right? Yeah. I had the Jets +4 against the Texans.
They won.
I had the Giants +3, but I took the Giants on the money line against the Eagles.
They won.
I had the over in the Bengals-Steelers game. It was 43.5. They went over. I had the Pats, so I hit my first four legs. If Fournette goes down and they kick the field goal, which is what they're obviously striving to do, to just merely win by three, I win all five legs. Instead, I win Ugats because we didn't cover, and Fournette had the gumption to score his fourth touchdown. And it, you know what? It was a big one. It would have been nice. Helped out Santa a little bit. You know what I mean? Hour two coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.